Amen. Like a tree planted by the waters. Like a tree planted by the waters. This is a sermon today about how to remain faithful in times of great distress. How do we remain faithful when our life is falling apart? How do we remain faithful when nothing seems to be going right? How do we remain faithful when everything around us seems to want to discourage and steal our joy and steal our hope and even steal our happiness? How do we do it? You know, the last couple of sermons that I've preached, I've shared a little of Elijah because that's where I've been spending my time in my studies. And another one of the questions that I asked as I read his story was, how did he do it? I mean, I've already preached a sermon about how he did it when he saw all these evil and wicked people that prospered when he wasn't. But I also wondered, how did he do it in the midst of all that he suffered and all that he experienced? How did he remain faithful to God when nothing seemed to go his way? I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but I do want to share some of the things he went through. And I want you to think about whether or not you can relate to some of the things Elijah was going through. The first thing is he had to deliver some terrible news to King Ahab. He had to confront the king and say, God's not happy with you. How many of you here enjoy confronting people? Anybody? This guy here, he likes it. Most people don't like confrontation. They don't like arguments. They don't like drama. They get stressed out. They get tense. It makes your gut hurt. Any of you here really don't like confrontation? Raise your hand. I don't like it. And it's not a great quality for a minister to not like confrontation, because sometimes you do have to correct. Sometimes you do have to rebuke. Sometimes you got to get in the pulpit and you got to preach things that people don't want to hear and say things that people don't want to hear. But I don't like it. And I can't imagine that Elijah, being the only prophet left in the whole land, loved the idea of having to confront the king. God asked him to do that, and I can imagine him going, why? Why? Why me? Why did it have to be me? Why am I the only one left? I don't want to have to go do this. Imagine what you feel like when you've got to confront somebody or you're faced with that kind of tension and that kind of anxiety. Second thing I want to mention about his life was he was faithful during a time of drought. He prophesied there was a drought coming. And for them, a drought meant there's a lack of water. And when there's a lack of water, not only do you have not enough to drink, but you don't have enough to water your crops. So there's not enough food. So you go through a couple of years of lack. How many of you here enjoy not having enough? Nobody. But how many of you have ever been in a lean time where you didn't have enough? Felt terrible, didn't it? It felt rough to live through a drought, to not have enough money, to not have enough food, to not have enough clothing, to have a car that won't start or crank or 9 flat tires a week, right? We've all been there. We've had those seasons of drought where we did not feel like we had everything that we needed. And Elijah went through years of that. And I'm not going to get into all the stories, but needless to say, God's solution was go lay by that stream and drink that water. You know, God's solution was go over to that widow's house and I'll make sure she can make you some bread. Right? And it's provision, and God did it, but he still remained faithful in the middle of that entire drought. He was never overabundantly blessed with riches or prosperity. He just had the basic needs provided, and he remained faithful. He was under the threat of physical harm and even death. The king of the land and his wife wanted him dead, and all he had ever done was faithfully serve the Lord God Almighty and say yes to the Lord. All he had ever done was do the Lord's work and the Lord's ministry. All he ever did was good. And yet all he ever received was bad. Death threats. We want to kill you. And he had to run for his life. Can you imagine what went through his mind having to run for his life, but remaining faithful? And here's one for the room. If none of these have hit you, this one probably will. Elijah is one of the clearest presentations of depression that you will ever see in the Bible. You know, sometimes we think that these things aren't mentioned. Depression, anxiety, you know, feeling so sad that we just want to die. Like, what does the Bible say about that? It literally says that Elijah laid down next to a stream and basically told God, I'm done. I'm sad. I want to die. I'm not making any difference. Nothing's happening. Nothing I say matters. Nothing I do matters. My ministry doesn't matter. My life doesn't matter. Elijah was depressed and sad and broken and humbled to his core. And yet, in the midst of that depression, he remained faithful to God. And how could he do that? I just kept asking myself, how? How could Elijah continue to be faithful and continue to follow when all that he experienced was bad? Everything was bad. And I think there's a really simple but deep, deep answer to this. And that is, Elijah had God on his side. God was his creator. God was his father. God was his counselor. God was his king. God was his leader. God was his friend. God was his hope. God was everything to Elijah, so that when he didn't have enough and he felt lack, he could always say, well, at least I have who? God. At least I've got God. When he felt in threat for his life, he could say, well, God is my protector. When he was depressed and he didn't feel like going on, he didn't feel like waking up another day, he could say, I may feel bad today, but I'm going to rest knowing that I have a God that loves me and cares for me and provides for me. And he is not going to leave me. And he is not going to forsake me. So when I was studying this, I come across a cross-reference. And that's the passage we're going to spend our time in today. Because I feel like a lot of us can relate to Elijah. I feel like a lot of us have been or are right now in these situations. And there's only one place we're going to find our strength. There's only one place we're going to find our hope. There's only one place we're going to find sustenance and nourishment. There's only one place that we can look when we need to stand and we feel like we can't stand anymore. I'm going to go Old Testament to New, and I'm going to say that's in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. I know it's a simple answer, but we're going to dig deep on that today. I want you to look at Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 through 8. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 through 8. And I think we find in this passage the key to remaining faithful even in the middle of some of the worst distress that we will ever experience. Everything in our life seems to be falling apart or not going well, having the worst day, worst week, worst year. I think this is the key. And we're going to dig in deep. Blessed is the man who does what, church? Trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord. He trusts in the Lord, his hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease yielding fruit. First point, number one point, most important thing you're going to hear today by a large margin. Nothing else I preach on today is as important as the thing that I'm fixing to share with you right now. So pay close attention, perk up, wake up. If you're going to fall asleep at the end,
Not right now, okay?
When we look at this example of where we're going to find our strength and how we're going to get through the difficult times that this world is going to throw our way, how are we going to fight back at the enemy? How are we going to find strength and hope? What's going to keep us going? Our roots must be planted in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I'm going to say it again. Our roots, if we are the tree and we are being planted, and our roots are being planted in a place where they can receive water, we must be planted in Christ Jesus because He is the living water. Look at the person next to you and say, Jesus is the living water. Jesus is the living water. I'm going to share an example with you, Bill. I want you to pull this up. Some of you are gardeners. You're going to know what this is. Some of you aren't. You're going to learn something today. This is called the clay pot watering system. Now, most of us, when we have a garden, we go out and we spray it down with a hose, or we run some hose with some little holes in it, or we have a drip system. There's a lot of ways we water a garden. I'd never heard of this one before. And the way that you water the garden with this clay pot is that you dig a big hole in the area that you're going to plant some plants, and you put a literal clay pot in the ground with a lid. You bury it, and then you plant all your plants around this clay pot. And what happens is you go out there with a pitcher or with your hose or whatever, you take the lid off the clay pot, and you fill that clay pot with water, and you put the lid back on it. Now, I didn't know this. This is something I learned. Is that clay is porous. So it's not going to hold that water in, but it's also not going to spill out really fast. What will happen is the water will gradually make its way out of the clay pot into the soil in that area. So every time you pour water in the clay pot, it's going to water that entire area and keep those plants healthy from underground. The leaves will never get hit by the water. The stalk of the plant will never get hit by the water. In fact, you could go out at any given time and not even realize the garden had been watered at all, because the water is down deep. It's down in the ground, under the soil, where the roots grow deep and they grow to the water, and the plant gets its strength from the water that's leaching out of this clay pot. What Jeremiah is trying to tell us today is that as followers of Jesus Christ, our soul is watered in almost the exact same way. When we are firmly planted in Christ Jesus, our roots will always grow to the living water. When there's living water flowing through our life because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, He will be our nourishment. If we're healthy, it's going to be because He is watering the soil that our roots are planted in. If we are healthy, it's because He is watering the roots in the soil that we're planting in. If we're going to be healthy, if we're going to be strong, if we're going to stand, if we're going to be able to live and survive and bear fruit as Christians, we must be tapped in to the living water. Amen?
Amen.
Listen to this scripture. This is John 7. Verses 37 through 38. And it says this: On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and do what, church?
Drink.
Let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of what?
Living
water. I am the source of your life. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Outside of me, you are dead. Your soul is dead. Your life is no good. You are going to wilt and die. You will not have strength. You will not have longevity. You will not bear fruit. You will not be able to stand up to the heat or the disease or the cruel, horrible, nasty, broken world that you live in. You are not going to make it without the living water. Now I'm going to tell you at the end of the message today the process by which you can attain that living water. But only you can make the decision to do it.
But I'm telling you right now, folks, this is not a self-help course. Okay? This is not do step 1, 2, and 3 and you're going to be fine. This is not, oh, well, I'll pick that part of the message and I'll put that to work in my life and things are going to get better. I'm telling you, if you don't have the living water, nothing else I say today will work. If you do not have Jesus, the trials are going to come and you're going to fall apart. The world's going to beat you up and you will be defeated. Right? The enemy is going to attack you and he's going to win. The only way that you have victory, the only way that you have hope, the only way that you have strength and you can stand in these times is when you are tapped in to that water source. When you have living waters of Jesus flowing through your soul. So I beg you today, church, I beg you today, if you do not have the living water of Jesus, if you have not accepted him as your Lord and your Savior, if you are not following him today, if you have not confessed your sins, if you have not repented of your sins, if you have not responded to his grace-filled gift, you have to do that right now, today. Because if you don't do it, none of this other stuff is going to help you. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more, but we've got to be planted where our roots have access to the living water. Now, here's the body of the message. I might spend a little time here. This is point 2. I love plant analogies, metaphors. I love it when Jesus uses things that are simple to explain very complex truths. Anybody here that's ever had a house plant, ever had a garden, ever tried to keep anything like that alive, this is going to resonate with you. This scripture and this process of teaching is going to make total sense. And what you're going to find is that not only does it make total sense, but it is tremendously deep and you can mine it for so much. So I can't wait to dig in. We're planted in the living water. And I ask myself, well, what happens to a plant if it doesn't have water? What does the water actually do for a plant? I actually looked up the science. Like, if a plant doesn't have water in real life, and we're being compared to a tree that's planted near living water, what would happen if you just take the water out? You've got the seed, you've got the soil, you've got the oxygen and the sunlight. Like, everything else is there, but there's no water. Listen to what water does for a plant. Are you ready? I learned some words I didn't know, some concepts I didn't understand. Becky, this will make me a better gardener. Because I've got some plants in my garden right now that are suffering. It is so biblical. So biblical. Listen to what water does for a plant. And understanding that Christ is our living water, we're going to use his name and we're talking about us here, not vegetables. All right? Without Christ, we cannot do what?
Grow.
We can't grow. Without Christ, we will stay stagnant. We will stay dwarfed. We will stay ineffective. We won't bear any fruit. You could take a plant and plant it out in your garden and never water it, and it'll stay the same size because it's getting no nutrients and it cannot perform, elementary school word, photosynthesis. Look at your partner and say photosynthesis. If your plant has no water, it literally cannot convert chemically that water and that sunlight into the things it needs to grow. Christian, hear me out right now. Without Jesus, you can't grow. And if you can't grow, you can't get strong. If you can't grow, you can't get strong. Have you ever seen a storm roll in on some plants that are this small? Do you know what happens to tiny plants, Jamie? When a storm rolls in and they're not strong enough, what happens to them? They get mowed down. The stems break. Any fruit that might have been growing falls off. The plant cannot withstand the wind, and it cannot withstand the heat and the sun because it has no strength. There are some of you here today that aren't growing because you are not tapped into the living water. You show up for church and you say that you follow Jesus, but there is no growth. You are stagnant. You are dwarfed in your spiritual life. You aren't going anywhere, and you haven't gone anywhere for decades. And I'm telling you right now, you won't go anywhere until you tap into the living water. Without Jesus, you cannot grow. You can show up to church and hear the best preachers, the best sermons, bring your kids to the best Sunday schools, show up to every rally and listen to every song and still be the same person you were 40 years ago. Amen. Listen, folks, God wants you to grow. But you cannot grow if your roots are not tapped into living water. Without Jesus, you will see no growth, and therefore you will have no strength. Let's take a look at the next one, Bella. This is one I didn't know. You ready for this one? We're going back to point two, honey. Point two still. I'm going to be here for a minute. Have you ever went out to a garden, or ladies, you tried to grow a plant? Some of you say, I can't grow a plant. I'm better at killing plants than I am keeping them alive. You ever went out and your plant was just slumping? It's just sad looking. I have some eggplants in my garden. And eggplants, to me, seem like the most susceptible plant to lack of water that I've ever seen in my life. Most plants are pretty resilient. Most plants can handle it. You don't water an eggplant one day and it misses that watering that it needed, it looks like this. I mean, literally, like the leaves are on the ground, the stalk is leaned over, it just looks miserable. Do you know why that is? Do you know why plants lean and slump when they're not getting the water that they need? It's called cell turgor. Turgor. You don't have to memorize it. Just know I looked it up, I did the research, and I know the term. The only way a plant can stay upright is by the pressure inside the plant that holds up the stem. Without water, there's no pressure, there's no cell turgor, so the plant slumps over and hits the ground. And if you never give it any water, it just keeps slumping and slumping and slumping until it's a dead husk laying on the ground. You are just like a plant. How beautiful are these analogies and metaphors from the scripture? You need Jesus to give you strength, to help you stand, to grow you a backbone, to help you stand up under the pressures this life will throw at you, the temptations this life will throw at you, the struggles, the heartaches, the grief, all of the stuff about living in a broken world that can wipe you out in a moment. With Jesus, we can stand up. Amen. You ever seen an okra plant? You ever grown? You know an okra plant looks like a tiny tree. Okra plant's full of water, you ain't knocking it over. I might run it over with a lawnmower and not kill it. I would love to believe that when we are filled with the Spirit of Almighty God, when we are filled with the living water, that we can resist anything the enemy or this world throws at us. It doesn't mean it won't get thrown at us. It doesn't mean we won't have to deal with the pressure. But we're filled with the living water, so we don't wilt. We don't faint. We don't fall over. We are not crushed. We are not defeated. We are still alive and strong, not because we're not facing adversity, but because Jesus is stronger than the adversity that we're facing. Jesus in us, the living water in us, allows us to stand up and troop through anything. Not because we're built that way. That's crazy talk. Anybody that you've ever met that thinks they're a tough guy can be brought to their knees. I don't care how tough you are, strong you are, how mentally strong you are, emotionally tough you think you are. You let a few bad things happen in your life in a row, and I promise you will get tested beyond your capacity. I stood over here by this wall this morning, and I leaned here and I prayed and I said, God, I'm empty. I am empty. I don't have anything to give this congregation today, not one thing. I'm tired. I'm grieving and hurting for my brothers. I'm wore out emotionally. But guess what? I'm preaching. Guess what? I'm here. I showed up. I'm not going to stop and I'm not going to back up. And I'm going to continue to serve and I'm going to continue to show up. Not because Shane Matthews is tough. Because Shane Matthews is not tough. Ask my wife who sees me on a Monday. She'll tell you real quick, I am like the least tough person in the world. But I got Jesus. And when I'm filled with the living water, I've got enough. Amen? When we're poured out, that's when He is glorified the most. When we don't have anything left, that's when He is the strongest and the most powerful and the most apparent. That's when our testimony really matters. When we get beat on and we keep standing. Amen, church? Filled with the living water, we're strong. We can stand. When we're not filled with the living water, we have no protection. I did not know this. Did you know when a plant has plenty of water, it puts out its own mist? Like, literally, it puts out water and mist for itself on a hot day. How many of you know we've experienced some hot days? How many of you had your AC down to 68 and it never got below 70 or 75? Some of you struggled. You've been in the 78, 80 range, sweating in your house in the air. Can you imagine what a poor plant feels like? Out in the open sunlight, just burning up. If a plant has plenty of water, it says, I know how to handle this. I'll cool myself off. I'll cool myself off. No, that's okay. That's what it looks like when it doesn't have water, okay? If you miss that illustration, it cools itself off. Folks, when you are filled with the living water, the world's going to throw heat at you. The world's going to throw heat at you. It's going to throw drought at you. There's times where the rain's not going to come and it's not going to be there. But when you have the living water, when you're tapped into that water that's deep down by the roots of your Christianity, when your foundation is in Christ Jesus, then He is going to be able to protect you. He's going to shield you. He is your strong tower. We hide underneath His wings. In the cleft of the rock, in the palm of His hand. The Lord God is our protector, but apart from Him, without the living water, there is nothing to protect us from all the heat, from all the trouble. We're going to talk about that more in a minute, but I want you to know this. With the living water, in the midst of the heat, you can thrive. Amen? One more thing. And then I'm going to move on to the last point. Let's speak about health for a minute. Without the living water, we cannot be healthy. A plant without water, not only can it not stand upright, not only can it not grow through photosynthesis, not only can it not protect itself with that mist, but have you ever seen a plant that's just infested with bugs? And it has blight and the leaves are wrinkled up and it's spreading through the plant and mold gets on it and it's just unhealthy looking. Do you realize that plants get that way very often because they don't have enough water? The water allows the plant to be strong enough to resist disease, to resist pests, to resist things that are trying to kill it. I cannot express how awesome this analogy is for Christians. It's amazing. When you are not tapped into the living water, when you don't have Jesus, when you are not filled with His Spirit, you cannot fight off disease. I'm not talking about physical disease. I'm talking about spiritual disease. You cannot fight off the pest. Who's the biggest pest? Satan. And he takes advantage of the second biggest pest, and that's our own body. Right? When you are not filled with the living water, you will be an unhealthy person spiritually. You cannot be healthy. You cannot resist temptation. You can't fight back against the enemy. You can't do anything that will resist the things rotting away at your mind and your heart without Jesus. Jesus is the living water. Without water, plants wilt, desire, get diseases. They're unhealthy. They won't make it. Without Jesus, we're not going to make it. That's why the first point was so important. Amen, church?
Amen.
Last but not least, let's move to point three. And I love this one because there's a couple of words that are used here that I think we bat around a lot. I deal with it. You deal with it. I've heard a lot of people deal with these things. And it almost feels like we live in a culture that doesn't understand how to fix these things or how to find resolutions or how to heal or how to be redeemed here. But we're going to talk about it today. It says in this scripture in Jeremiah, it says, "And will not fear when the heat comes." Remember, we're going to talk about that heat. "Will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought and will not cease from yielding fruit." Some pretty amazing truths being discussed here. So I just want to say up front, what this is telling us is that if you are tapped into living water, if you have Jesus Christ, an authentic relationship, and you're drawing your energy, and you're drawing your nutrients, and you're drawing your strength, and you're drawing all that you need for life from Him, there is no trial, no struggle, no problem, no death, no issue that you cannot face and remain healthy as a Christian. Doesn't mean you won't be sad. You hear me? Doesn't mean you won't grieve. Doesn't mean you won't have to fight. What it means is it's not going to pull you away from Christ. It's not going to pull you away from your faith. You are not going to become an unhealthy Christian because of it. You can remain healthy and strong and still face adversity in Christ. Do you believe that, church? Not only can you remain healthy and strong, but this scripture actually says that you will continue to bear fruit. Do you know how hard it is to be kind to someone when you feel angry? But in Christ, you can still do it. Do you know how hard it is to be patient when everything in your life seems to be falling apart? But in Christ, you can still do it. What this scripture is saying is that we can still bear the fruit of the Spirit. We can actually still look like Jesus and be the light of Christ, the ambassador of Christ in the world, even when we are struggling through the hardest things we've ever dealt with. That's exactly what this is saying. Despite the heat, despite the drought, you can still be healthy and you can still bear fruit. And as I look out, I can just see some people going, "Whoo, Pastor, that's tough." There's no amens. Nobody's excited about this one because we don't like heat and we don't like drought. We don't like to face struggles and trials and difficulty and loss. We don't like not having the money we need or the relationships in our family we need. We don't like losing people that we love. We don't like the struggle of battling and fighting temptation every day of our life. Have you ever fought a temptation so long and so hard you just wake up and one day go, "God, I need a break"? One day without temptation would be really great. Can I just not struggle once? What does heat look like? I mean, we're talking about plants. We know what heat looks like. It looks like 105 degrees outside with a 120 degree heat index. The plants are struggling. But what does it look like in your life right now? Where's the heat coming from? Is it job stress? Family drama? Is it loss? Is it financial difficulties? Is it spiritual struggles? You're fighting temptations. You're trying to serve God, but your righteousness is like filthy rags. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I mean, we're just struggling. What does your heat look like? and apply it to this situation and understand everybody's got heat. There's not a person in this place right now that doesn't have some struggle, some trial, some persecution, some issue. Every person here has dealt and is dealing with something right now. The question is not whether or not there is heat. The question is whether or not we're tapped into the living water. Because the living water keeps us strong and alive and flourishing even in the heat. What about spiritual drought? You ever been through a spiritual drought? There's mountaintops, there's valleys. Any of you can relate to having a season in your life where you are just so in love with Jesus and so in love with the Word of God, and you hunger and you thirst for righteousness, and you want to go to the altar every time there's an altar call, and you want to pray all the time, and you want to serve in the church, and you want to be the best dad or mom or brother or sister that God created you to be, and like you're all in. And then the heat comes, beats on you a little too long. You find yourself in a drought. You don't pray as often. Not as interested in getting in the Word. Sometimes you don't even want to come to church. Sometimes you know you're not doing what you need to do as a father or as a wife or as a brother or sister, and you just kind of don't care. Spiritual droughts are real, and they happen. And I can tell you there's one reason why this heat works and these droughts are effective at pushing us back. And it's because sometimes, instead of being tapped into the living water, we have substituted the living water for other things. Okay? Now pay close attention. An alcoholic, they're an alcoholic because they're depending on alcohol to make them feel better, to help soothe their mind, to help make their day and their afternoon and their night a little easier, because they're hurting and they're struggling and they're fighting and it's hard. Am I saying that being an alcoholic is a good thing? No. But I'm saying there's a reason that people become alcoholics. There's a reason that people get addicted to drugs. There's a reason that people get addicted to food. There's a reason that people have unhealthy relationships with other people. I could go on and on. There's a reason people are workaholics. I mean, it really spans into so many areas. I could spend all day talking about how we replace the living water with something else. Maybe it's money, maybe it's a person, maybe it's a drug, maybe it's food. But when we're feeling the heat, instead of tapping into the living water, we tap a keg. Instead of tapping into the living water, we go spend some money or try to go earn some more money. Instead of tapping into the living water, we say, oh, Brenda's the love of my life. I wake up every day because Brenda's alive. And Brenda just exudes beauty and confidence, and her soul is so deep. And I'm embarrassing her. Now, listen, if you've ever loved another human being, you get that, right? But let me tell you, your spouse and your lover is no substitute for Jesus. Your mom and daddy's no substitute for Jesus. Your kids are no substitute for Jesus. They will fail you. They will not always be there. Sometimes they leave. And we all are going to pass away. They are no substitute for Jesus. They're lovely. They're wonderful. They can add so much depth and so much love and so much wonder and happiness to our life. I'm not saying they don't. I know Becky loves it when I say this. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying they're no good. I'm saying they're awesome. They're just not going to give you what the living water can give you. Only the living water of Jesus can give you that. But some of us depend on those other things so much, and when those other things don't work, or those other things aren't there, when we don't have those other things to lean on, or those other people, or those other experiences, we're floundering. We're dying. We're leaning. We're slumping. We're not growing because we're not tapped in to the living water. So I'm going to close on this. And Jamie, you can come up. I'm going to move through this pretty fast.
You might be saying, well, Pastor, I want to be tapped into that living water. I really, really do. And I hope that you are. I hope that you've been encouraged more than discouraged by this message. I hope you have been pushed to want to know how to let those roots grow deeper into the living water and how to pull from the living water. Because, folks, Jesus is the answer. Any problem you're having right now, I promise you, Jesus is always the right answer. But you got to have Jesus for him to help. And I know that most of you have heard of the Roman road. You know the Roman road. It's hard to memorize. There's a lot of scriptures in it. I memorized a little four-letter, what is it called? An acronym. See? An acronym. BCRR. I taught youth Sunday school for years. I taught them this every year that I ever taught Sunday school. BCRR. Don't need notes for this one. You must believe. You must confess. You must repent. And you must receive. Amen? Amen. The scripture says that you must believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, that he died, that he was resurrected. You must believe. But it can't stop at belief. You know why it can't stop at belief? Because Satan believes. Satan knows very well that Jesus was real. He knows very well that Jesus was the Son of God, that he was God in the flesh. Satan knows very well that Jesus died and was resurrected. And yet Satan is not saved. Just because you believe in Jesus does not mean that you are saved. That is the first step to being saved. You must also confess. You must confess with your mouth that he is Lord. This is harder than it sounds. Because then you have to be bold. You got to tell your buddies. You got to tell your wife. You got to come, you know, clean with your kids that I love Jesus and I don't care who knows about it. I believe he's my Savior. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he was resurrected. You must confess with your mouth. Folks, why do you think people come to an altar and make a public confession of their faith in coming to the altar and being baptized? It's not because the altar is some ceremony that's necessary for salvation. It's not because when I dunk you in the water, all your junk washes off in it. If it did, the water would be black at the end. I mean, let's be real. I've seen that happen, by the way. I mean, I ain't gonna tell you any name. We baptized somebody in a pool one time, turned it black as coal. Never seen anything like it. And I actually saw a meme on Facebook where a guy said, I'm gonna go to church today and get baptized, and I'm gonna bust some food coloring in there and freak the pastor out. You know, some black food coloring. But y'all, it doesn't work like that, okay? You're washed clean of your sin way before you get in that water, okay? It's not about the water and it's not about the walk down here. It's about what happens in your soul. It's about being actually forgiven of your sins. It's about confessing that publicly and saying, God has already done a work in me. Amen?
Amen.
And I like to include confess with your mouth and also confess your sin. It's part of repentance. Do you know that Jesus said to repent? It's one of the earliest and most powerful messages he preached. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repentance means that you feel sorry for your sin, you turn away from your sin, and you don't have anything to do with it anymore. Doesn't mean you won't be tempted, doesn't mean you won't fail, but it does mean you will hate it when it happens. And it does mean you will be growing, and it does mean you don't want to have anything to do with that old life. That's repentance. Believe, confess, repent, and then you must receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You must allow him to occupy your temple. He created you to live in, and he wants to live there. So today, if you want to tap into the living water, you got to believe, you got to confess, you got to repent, and you have got to receive him as your Lord and Savior. No other way to withstand the heat and the drought. Amen?